I think the challenge kind of opened my mind up to more things, mm-hmm. like and possibilities because of like the reading,
mm-hmm.
and I've been listening to a lot of more podcasts, and I feel like it's kind of breaking my shell or my wall a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm not the most emotional person, or like I don't really share my emotions too well.
I think it's the second thing. Mm-hmm. It's like it forced me to approach things differently, mm-hmm. and even the way I'm carrying myself around the kids, and just really trying to instill that mental toughness that I've built into their training.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Hey everyone, I'm very proud to represent our sponsor for this podcast. We're actually located here in Santa Paula inside A Plus Branding. They're your one-stop shop for promotional supply products such as t-shirts, custom hats, custom apparels, you name it, they brand it. A Plus Branding provides all your promotional needs. They also provide vinyl decals such as stickers. They even did this wall here for me to make sure that this room is branded properly, to make sure that the guests that do come here feels that experience. It's also a really cool partnership because we work directly with brand owners, business owners, so when they come in here, they also have a one-stop solution for their needs. So make sure to go ahead and check out A Plus Branding. You can check them out at their website, aplusbranding.com, and you can go ahead and request a quote from them. Now back to the show. What is up, everyone? Welcome to another episode here at Voice Podcast. I'm your host, Charles. And so for the last, I would say, almost 2.5 months, I took on this journey called 75 Hard. So it was very intense for me and my end. And it wasn't that it was very hard to do. It was more so that it was hard to do things on top of the things I was already do. I've heard of this quote saying that, hey, the things that are easy to do are also easy not to do. So with this episode, I brought along two guests, actually, to speak on behalf of their experience with 75 Hard. And we're going to dive into how that has also affected themselves personally and as well as business as well. So welcome to the show, Byron.
Hey, thank you for having me again.
And welcome to the show, Ryan.
What's up, guys? Thanks for having me.
Hell yeah. I'm super excited for you guys to be here. Byron, you just took on, now you're in phase, what day?
Phase one. So it's the third mm-hmm. day of phase
third day
one.
That's right. And then Ryan, you just finished phase one, right?
Yes.
Hell yes. How do you guys feel?
Tired. Still tired.
Pretty tired.
I was gonna say, if you guys were not tired, I'd be okay. You guys are on something else. Byron just took a pre-workout right before doing this.
Yeah, I was like, damn, I'm sleepy, I gotta stay awake somehow.
But you guys made it, you know. Thank you guys. I know we're out here in Santa Paula, here in the inside A Plus Branding, so super cool. You know, you guys get to see it in the new studio. Byron was actually had been on two episodes, and he was on my first one, so you guys experienced that. And then I had invited Ryan a while back to a series I created back in, I think that was season three. I had like a little series I was trying to do,
which
was cool. It was on YouTube and everything. Some people liked that, you know?
Yeah.
So it was awesome.
Heck yeah, man. Well, congrats, dude. Like, it's dope to see the evolution. So.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's still like...
It's really tight.
Thank you. Thank you. That means a lot, you know? Shout out to the team that helped me put it together, you know?
That's right.
So yeah, for anybody who is listening, let's get a little background. Let's start with Ryan. Let's tell him about what you do and who you are.
Well, my name is Ryan. I am a co-owner of Dead and Faded Market with Byron and Stevie, and co-owner of Retorco with Byron as well.
Nice. Business partners, right?
Yeah, with everything.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. And then Byron?
Byron Bukow. I have a company called Alias Dance Family. Been doing it for 20 years. And then I'm a co-owner with Ryan for Dated and Faded Retour.
Hell yeah. So you guys are both Filipinos, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You too, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. So we got a Filipino in the house here. So that's awesome. I mean, how long have you guys been business partners, or, you know, like how did that come about?
What year did we start it?
It's like a blur.
Couple years before COVID, I think.
Yeah,
really?
Like maybe 2017 or mm-hmm. 2016, something.
Yeah, that
like
sounds about right.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Cool. I mean, you know, you guys have been at it together, and I've seen the journey progress through both for Alias, Retour, and most recently Dated and Faded, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Cool. So we're going to dive a little about that. But first, you know, pivoting back to the topic of 75 Hard, I mean, for
do you guys want to define what 75 hard is, like, for anybody listening? So, you know, just a little disclosure. What's your intake of what is 75 hard?
Mostly it's a mental challenge, I think. I mean, the physical aspect is like a catalyst to it. But I think what Andy Frisella's task was by making it was to challenge you mentally. Mm-hmm. That's like the biggest goal I think he was trying to do.
Okay. What did it mean for you, Byron?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest take. It's it's not really a fitness challenge, what people think it is when they see it. It's a mental toughness program. It's to build your mind, toughen your calluses in your mind, you know? So
100%. So for anybody who is listening, 75 Hard is a mental fitness program challenge created by Andy Frisella, which you take on for 75 days. And you do two workouts a day. One of them has to be outside. One of them, and you have to drink a gallon of water a day. Drink 10 pages. And you have to take a progress pic. No cheat meals, no alcohol. And you do that for 75 days. But that's just phase zero, right?
Correct.
Yeah. So I've only recently completed phase zero. The first time I did it back in 2017, I quit halfway through because I was like, dude, this is taking a lot of my time. I do not want to work out twice a day. So I was like, fuck it.
Hey, but you just finished it recently, 2 weeks ago. So congrats, man.
Thank you.
How do you feel?
I feel good. I'm also tired.
Hey, I hear you.
But like, that's like you kind of conditioned yourself to become, you know what? Even if you're tired, it doesn't mean that that's it. You know, realize you have this extra fuel to unleash and keep going. Right?
Yes, sir.
So for you guys, you said you've done, I think I've seen somewhere that you did it the fifth time now?
Yeah, I finished it for the fifth time.
I was telling this guy the other day, this guy's like the David Goggins of
805. <You're> not like close. The second or third time you did it, like, dude, yeah, I just ran to like The Rock from my house. So for anyone who's watching who's not a local, The Rock is in Malibu, and we currently live in Oxnard. So that's like what? 10, 13 miles, something?
13 miles, wow.
Something like that, right?
Yeah, I think it's like 15-ish, yes.
Yeah, something crazy. Yeah, I'm like, dude, what? It's like Tuesday at like 1.
Yeah, I would run from a house all the way over there, and then I just like call someone to pick me up.
Really? Wow. Yeah, that I could barely even do like 2-3 miles, you know? Yeah, that's crazy, man. But okay, cool. So then, you know, tapping back before you learned about 75 Hard, what made you decide to do it, like, in the first time? We'll start with you, Byron.
Well, I was listening to a lot of podcasts. This is, like, pre-COVID. Mm-hmm. And I was just kind of, like stumbled upon Andy Frisella's podcast. And then I heard of 75 Hard. And this is, like, barely when he made it in 2019. I was already doing another fitness challenge. I was, like, trying to work out 100 days in a row. Mm-hmm. And then I saw that, and I was like, dang, I think I'm ready to try this. And so I just jumped into it and gave it a shot. And it's probably one of the best decisions I ever made for myself.
That's amazing. That's an amazing thing to hear. And I believe that you're a big inspiration to many other people out there. I see it, bro. When I post about you, I'm like, damn, bro, this was popular.
Oh, man.
Thanks, you know, but also they talk in high. Everyone I've talked to has, you know, talked highly of you as far as like what you do, what you stand for. You know, so I think, you know, I want to say I appreciate you for being able to become a beacon of that.
Oh, man, I appreciate you.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, for sure, man. So when you stumbled upon that, we'll pivot towards Ryan, right? How did you get a hold of 75 Hard, and what made you decide to do it?
Well, bouncing off your thing, I actually got influenced from Byron. Mm-hmm. I remember he told me, because I've always worked out like my whole life, but like nothing like crazy, just weight training and stuff like that. But I remember he told me, he's like, yeah, I'm doing this day thing where I work out every day for 75 days. And I was like, this dude is crazy. And he told me, I was like,
hey, that's your business partner.
Yeah, I was like, there's no way, bro. There's no way. Every single day, you know, that's tough. But I think the thing that people, like the common misconception about 75 Hard is that you have to go crazy for both workouts, you know? Like, I mean, you can.
You can.
You can, but I'm like, the whole point is just to get the task done. And then, adding the extra outdoor workout, I just walked like for 45 minutes, you know? And then the change in like the steps taken in days, like consistently, they add up. Like, people think, like, oh, because I'm not working out super crazy, it's not considered a workout. Yeah. But it's, like, it's a workout.
Yeah, for sure.
Know? So, yeah, going back, yeah, Byron influenced me, and then I tried it. So, this is my, actually, second time finished 75 hard. I did the first time during last summer.
Mm-hmm.
And then I redid it again this December. Because I just relapsed. I, like, everything that I learned from 75 hard, like, it kind of went out the window. I gained a lot of the weight back. And really? Then, like, I started drinking again. Mm. So I was like, okay, like, that didn't really do shit. So I have to, like, reset it. Sorry, can I cuss on?
No, you're good, bro.
Okay.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah, so, like, that didn't really do anything for me. So I had to redo it, kind of, like, recalculate my brain and, like, figure where I went wrong. Like, because if I didn't learn something the first time, I have to backtrack and see where I messed up, you know? And then that's where I'm at now.
Yeah, I think it's a thing to highlight how your sense of self-awareness was went towards it. Like, some people would do stuff and, you know, they'll do a program, but, like, it doesn't stick. But they don't, like, hold themselves accountable and say, hey, you know what? Like, I think I deserve more to get out of this thing.
Yeah,
and then
yeah,
you
yeah.
decide to do it again,
yeah.
right?
Yeah. For yeah, sure.
That's interesting.
That's I mean, the cool thing about the program is, like, you can hit the reset button whenever you want to.
Exactly.
You know? Not many things in life you can do that with.
You know, it's funny. When I started this 75 hard program, I asked like 9 or 10 people to come along with me.
Oh, I forgot we made a little. There was a group that you made.
There was the only verse. Byron came in like 10 days later, but by the time he was on day 15, like 90% already like couldn't do it. You know, so I thought it was interesting, man. I was like, wow. I didn't, like, for me, right, I came across upon this program again, and I knew that it was going to be a commitment to my time,
mm-hmm.
right? So, but I did it because, one, I wanted to, you know, recondition my habit for reading, and as well as, like, creating that momentum for 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, it became more than that now, so, coming back to self-awareness and just energy, time management, all that. We'll talk about that, too. But the other thing was... I just noticed this level of sense of clarity, you know? Uh-huh. So, like, for you guys, when you guys were coming across that, did you guys come across something different than just how you started before? I mean, obviously, you have so many experiences to come across, right?
Yeah, every time has been different, for sure.
Yeah. Well, what's your intake of the experience, Byron?
Like, completely?
Yeah. Like, I mean, okay, let's backtrack so that we don't go all over. Let's just go with the recent one right now, right?
Yeah.
What are some learning lessons that you learned about yourself coming across the challenge, the program?
Well, for me, it was just like, yeah, there's so many things, like tasks that I had to do, but my goal was to not let it get in the way of my family.
Mm.
And because other times I was doing it like whenever, and you know, sometimes it would take away. So
mm-hmm.
I had to sacrifice waking up earlier and just managing my time better. And yeah, that's pretty much
that
like
was
time
the
management.
Thing?
Time management for sure for me, because, you know, I don't want to take away from being a dad, you know? Mm. And so
what you're telling me is you took upon this program so that you can challenge yourself to manage time better.
Yeah, exactly.
And so that you can have that time to spend more time with your family.
Pretty much. It's like to not find an excuse that mm-hmm. I can't do it because I have
that's
a kid.
Powerful as hell.
You know? Because mm-hmm. that's where I go stuck at. Yeah. Like, I did it so many times. Like, it doesn't even matter. That's already in the past. Mm-hmm. But I fell off for like a good year and a half. You know, gained a lot of weight and just...
Oh, that's the other part.
You know?
Too.
And
okay.
just... And then I was like, okay, I'm making this an excuse.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like...
It's a good justification.
I can make time if I really want it, you know?
So, you know, it's a good accountable system, would you say?
Yeah, big time.
That's interesting because my thought process was, damn, if you were to do 75 hard on top of your business, you would have to sacrifice more time and probably less time. My perception, is that I thought that you would have to take away some from your family. But you're saying it's the other way around. You
yep.
use it as a fuel to actually create more time.
Exactly.
That's interesting. Wow. Thank you for sharing that. And I think going back into you, Ryan, I kind of hopped off a little bit. You know, what I really like what you mentioned was that you brought that self-awareness for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, okay, there has to be something that triggered that, right? Like, it's not just a fitness. Like, did you see progress when you were doing it the first time that made you try to do it again?
Yeah, well, the second time around, I just wanted to go a little harder, like making sure really proper. I started counting macros, and that was like the biggest like thing that just like kind of switched my physique like completely. Because the first time I was just like cutting out like stuff here and there, you know, like no like fast food, you know, the simple stuff, like baby steps, right? And then I got a coach and he helped me dial in all my macros, and that's when I saw like the boom and like the energy switch and just like, yeah. Like there was a big change after like counting macros. So I guess that was the biggest difference from the first time to the second.
You know what's crazy? When I was going through that process of like 75 hard, and you know, obviously like I generally eat pretty healthy. Like I don't, you know, eat a bunch of junk food. And if I do, you know, like I feel like it's like 1 to 10, you know, or 2 to 7, you know, like I'll eat shitty food, but like a majority of my other food is pretty healthy. Right. But then I also noticed that when I was in the process, like because I was forced to do the program, instead of resting, you have to actually do the program. I'm like, damn, I'm tired. So it's conditioning me to retrace my steps and take a step back. Okay, if I don't want to feel shitty doing these program, what do I need to do differently? Right? How many times have you guys come across during the program where you're like, fuck, I fucked up, but I'm gonna still do it anyways? But like you're being forced to recalculate your approach to it.
That was a little, I was really wordy.
I mean, a lot with the water.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because like it feels like you were kind of punishing yourself. Would you say?
Yeah.
Like if you don't drink that gallon of water, like
proportionally.
Then you're stuck with like more than half a gallon late at night. Mm-hmm. It's like you lose your sleep.
It's
just waking up to go pee every like
dude,
so often.
The worst.
So what I was trying to say to Ryan to kind of clarify that is like a lot of the things that we're doing is exposing how we're doing things in life. I'm a big believer in how you do things, how you do everything.
Right.
Like for example, I was talking about it, right? Mm-hmm. With the water. If you try to drink everything in the last 30 minutes.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Yeah.
That, for me, that makes me think like, okay, how many times do I go about my life where I have this huge chunk of project or task or workout and I'm just trying to jam it in? And then it's fucking up the rest of my day the next morning.
Yeah.
Right? So for me, when you're talking about your health and wellness, right? And you got a shift in energy. Mm-hmm. I was thinking that to myself. I was like, damn, what do I need to do to pivot so that I'm doing this program more efficiently? I'm forcing myself to rethink. That's why I started doing the caffeine kind of, detox. Because I was like, all right, I need to clean my system out. I think I still have some shit in me that I'm kind of unintentionally eating. Mm-hmm. And it's not supporting me with my fucking lifestyle, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, no, I think that's a good intake that you were talking about, you know? And what about like the reading? Like has that been kind of like a, I mean, you've always been a reader, right? I mean, since recently.
I actually hated reading my whole life until I did this program. Like I was forced to read, you know, but then it kind of sets your mood, your mindset, you know, you kind of just think about the things that you've been reading, like, and it kind of just flows into everything you're doing, you know? So I love the reading part of it.
Yeah, that's my favorite part too.
That's awesome. My favorite part. It's funny because I got very sucked into like consuming fast content, like, you know, YouTube videos, quick podcasts, to the point where I didn't give myself enough time to appreciate the information and really reflect on it. I'm just like, give me, you know? But like reading the book really forces you to kind of step in a little bit, right? Like,
the retention, retention's way higher.
Yeah.
Obviously, you're consuming so much content on a daily basis, right? But how much of that you're actually retaining? Yeah, so that's why reading is so elite, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was my goal because I was like, man, I miss reading, but I always feel like I never had time. You know, but then all of a sudden, all right, cool. I'm going to do 75 hard to see if I can have more time. The same thing that you
there
did.
You go. You gotta make it.
You reframed it. What's been you guys' favorite book that you guys have read throughout the process so far? Just out of curiosity.
Dude, Byron just gave it to me. It's Manifest Now. That's what I've been reading. And it's good. Just like puts you in the right mindset to do everything at 75 hard, like kind of entitles.
Okay.
So it's a good book to read.
Okay. Well, check that out, guys. What about you, Byron?
I would say, yeah, that's one of my top books right there, and Relentless by Tim Grover. He was a personal trainer for Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant.
Okay.
But it's about like mental toughness. So it's like right on the book for
doing the program. That's awesome. I mean, you know, I imagine like you're also trying to ride the momentum, right? You're trying to feed your brain something that can support that process.
Exactly.
Did you guys internally do that? Just out of curiosity, because I know I did.
I mean, well, part of the challenge is to read something beneficial to you. So, I kind of pick my books around self-development and just like things that'll kind of fuel the energy to do 75 hard.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, pivoting to that. I think it's an interesting concept because obviously you guys are both entrepreneurs. You work a full-time job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Are you still going to school?
No.
Okay, so full-time job, and then you have two brands that you're building.
Yeah.
Three brands or more. I don't know how many things you're doing, but
I think it's just three.
you got your full-time on your business, right? A family, right?
Yes.
What, like, would you guys say that you guys did a program to align it with your business well, to elevate it?
Wait, can you repeat that?
Like, did you decide to do the program to also, like, assume that by doing the program, your business will progress?
Oh, absolutely. 100%.
Okay. So what was, like, your intention? Like, what was the mindset behind it when you guys decided, okay, on the business side, right? Not just we've kind of talked about the fitness and the mental side, but what about the business side? Did you guys decide that, hey, you know what? I think this will benefit me. Like, what was your...
For me, it was... When I had to do like phase one, like you have to do critical tasks. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of forcing myself to make a list to like aid my business and get things done for my business. So I'm not like letting it pile up. Mm. So it was definitely helping.
So you're saying that you use it as a way to kind of challenge you so that you don't get cluttered.
Exactly.
Okay.
Same. The organization... Mm. Like, it all comes back to time management, really.
Really?
So, like, when you have to complete your task, right, that doesn't mean everything else stops, you know?
Mm.
So, you have to, okay, I'm working out here to here, doing the second workout here to here. Where do I fit in the business now? That's, you know, how you kind of calculate it in your head. So, it kind of forces you to be better. Mm-hmm. I don't know, I think that's, like... how it worked for me.
That's awesome. And we'll dive into that because I actually am curious to see how you see your business progress a little bit differently. But you did mention something really cool, which is the time management.
Yeah.
There was many times through the journey through 75 Hard where I realized, damn, I'm doing this shit all last minute. It's all cluttered in. Like, you know, I have to force myself to learn how to manage myself differently so that I'm not procrastinating or... you know, missing targets, right? Yeah. What were some like organization or time management things that you guys were forced to work on?
Well, I started a new job because, you know, I went to school to be an engineer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we started Retour like my junior year in college. So having that extra like layer of like, now I have another responsibility on top of what we were already doing, that even pushed me like, harder to be like, okay, like I even started doing my walks during my lunch break, so I would eat really fast and then like go on my my walk because I knew I had to fit it in like somehow. So like structuring my day around like kind of my task, it's like, okay, I have a window here, I can fit this in here, or like every hour let's drink a quarter of my gallon, you know, something like that. So like fitting it into your life as opposed to like making it feel like I have to do this, like or leaving it towards the end, you know, like filling the gaps
for
you know
sure. What I mean, that's an interesting process. Okay. So before we dive into, because I feel like you guys are way deeper into this thing where you guys accumulate some sort of crazy insights,
yeah,
for anybody listening or who have never done 75 or who hasn't passed 75 hard phase zero, what is phase 1, 2, and 3?
I think you should
so pretty much
so you're to go.
75 hard is a full year program. So the first part is 75 hard, which is 75 days, is the same things, tasks that you have in 75 hard, but they add 5-minute cold showers, 10 minutes of visualization, and 8 powerless tasks.
Mm.
But that's just for 30 days.
Okay.
And then phase 2 is 30 days of 75 hard.
Mm.
And then phase 3 is like ridiculous. It's like so much stuff.
But what is it? What is it?
I
heard a little bit about
it. The last time I only finished it the whole program once in my life, and that was from 2019 to 2020. Mm. And then there was, you have to talk to like a few random strangers and have a conversation.
Yeah, it can't be like somebody you know either.
It has to be like someone you don't know, and then all the other stuff in phase one. And I honestly forgot. Like, I think you add even more a power task list on top of it. So it's just super time consuming, but it was gnarly, man.
I gotta ask, Byron, when you did that in 2020, when you had to talk to people, did you like approach people like, hey, I have to talk to somebody new for a part of my challenge? What's your name?
You know, it was crazy because I was doing that part of the phase three, deep in the middle of the pandemic.
Okay.
Oh, and so fun. I was like, how do I talk to strangers right now? Everyone's stuck at home.
And you can do it online. It has to be in person.
It has to be in person. So what I would do is buy like food, and then I would walk up to homeless people, hear their story, and just see how they got there, and, you know, and just...
Dang, that's tight.
A deep conversation and give them food, you know, mm-hmm. and just, you know, and that was that. I didn't record it. I didn't take pictures, you know, but I mean, it definitely humbled me, you know, and it was really cool. Like, I would never do that, you know.
That's awesome that you mentioned, though, that it forced you to be resourceful. That was one of the lessons I learned doing the 75 hard in this first time completing it, which was sometimes things just don't align with the way you want it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you have to do all these tasks and, oh, fuck, you got to go to family. Oh, you got to go business, meetings, or you have to take on maybe overtime or whatever the fuck it is. Uh-huh. Right? And then you have to squeeze it in somehow to make it work.
Yeah.
You know? What was you guys' process of, like, kind of being resourceful?
Well, going back to the filling the gaps thing, There's a video of a professor like filling a jar with golf balls.
Mm-hmm.
Have you guys seen this before?
I feel like I have. Keep talking.
Okay, so it's he fills the jar with golf balls, and he asks his students, like, do you guys think this jar is full?
Mm.
So like he pours marbles. I think it's like marbles or something.
And pebbles and sand.
And pebbles, correct, and sand. And then I think he even tops it off with water or something.
Yes.
And then it's like he asks them after it's completely, completely full, is this full? And then this is like, he's like, this is a metaphor of life.
Mm.
And that's kind of how I structure. I take that metaphor and use it to structure my day. So like your golf balls are your big task, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you have to go to work. Work on your business. Maybe that's a golf ball for somebody, mm-hmm. you know, or even your workout. Your workout can be a golf ball, but then you have to sprinkle in the sand, right? That's your water, your reading,
your rest.
You rest, obviously. Recreation. Yeah. You have to eat too somehow. That's mm-hmm. sand. But, you know, you have to make sure that your golf balls fit first. You can't put the sand in first or else it won't fit.
And it's funny because most people will do a bunch of things that are like sand or fill it up with water that, you know.
So like sand can be too, like hanging out with your friends. Yeah, like that's important. I think.
And it's not as, you know, bad or anything.
Yeah, it's not bad. So, but you can't put the sand in your jar first. Mm-hmm. Or you can't hang out with your friends before you have to, you complete your reading or your whatever you have to do for the day, you know. So that was a really good metaphor I took the 75 mark.
I like
that. Yeah, I never heard of that.
Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
It reminded me of that. I remember, you know, life, just because, you know, life gives you all these obstacles or you have to do things doesn't mean you have, you know, you're limited.
Yeah.
You know, and that's another thing that, you know, taught me to as well is that you get to be abundant,
mm-hmm.
right? You kind of have to tap into the infinite resources and see what else you can do to maximize your potential, right?
Yeah.
Facts.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on coming across that kind of experience, Byron?
Just trying to fill in the gaps mm-hmm. and stuff that. Oh, I'm just all over the place, man. I think he nailed it on the coffin, man, on that one.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, I do see you do a lot, right? But you find a way somehow. And I think that's what the whole program is, right? It's supposed to develop that person that pushes you. Because I think, you know, for us to grow to the person who we really want to be, whether it's to make more money or to get to build better relationships or build a better physique, we need to create that character. But most people don't have they don't have enough commitment, or they don't put themselves in positions that will expose them to that because they're afraid.
The discomfort. They're scared of the discomfort.
They're afraid of being looked down on because if they fuck up, oh shit, like deep down. When in reality, when you put yourself in those situations, yes, it exposes you. Yes, you might feel uncomfortable. Yes, you may feel humiliated. You're also going to experience a sense of growth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to be uncomfortable for it to be anything worthwhile.
100%, right? 100%. And I think you guys are perfect examples of that, right? You guys don't know everything. You guys still do it. You're still building your business. You're still figuring it out. And, you know, you have had a lot of successes recently as well with, you know, the DNF market, the jobs that you guys have done, your freaking students accomplishing, you know, the championships, right?
Byron was just in a movie, bro.
Yeah, this guy was, and he was in a movie, bro. That's to me, like that, you guys like radiate, you know, just fucking the potential, the limits being taken off. You know, so let's talk a little bit about you guys' business, right? With you guys, with 75 Hard being piled off on top of that, how did you guys experience your business differently?
Time management. It always goes back to the time management, dude. Like, you have to get your golf balls done. So that's it. That's how it progressed my business. Like we've built. I think I started the first 75 Hard in like the midst of growing Dated and Faded. Mm. We've had like one or two markets prior, but each market it got better, and we you know, like trial and error. We've thrown events before, but we've never organized a kind of market environment where we have to worry about different personalities, different mm-hmm. vendors, making sure everyone's accounted for, making sure people are doing well. So that was big on like kind of like managing people, mm-hmm. you know, making sure everyone was taken care of. So doing that and being on top of that, we throw our events like at a brewery setting. Like, so that's
a what?
Our,
sorry, what
brewery,
a brewery, a brewery setting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. yeah. You did
so like topa, right? One of the challenges, you can't have any alcohol. So like that was tough. I think I did 2-3 markets without any alcohol. So prior to the challenge, I was a pretty heavy drinker. So that was actually one of the biggest like kind of switches I turned off from mm-hmm. the challenge itself.
So to make sure that you, what's it called, kind of not stay away from that habit, but replace it with better habits.
Yeah, 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 yeah. So no alcohol, just water, mm-hmm. just attacking that gallon. Yeah, yeah,
that's cool. It's cool. It's probably just overheated with battery, bro. Yeah, just turn it off a little bit. But what about you, Byron? I mean, you know, with business coming along, right? How did you experience the growth of your business? Was it just happening already or during the process of while you're doing this thing? Like, it's also forcing you to do things differently.
I think it's the second thing. Mm-hmm. It's like it forced me to approach things differently. Mm-hmm. And even the way I'm carrying myself around the kids and just really trying to instill that mental toughness that I've built into their training. Mm-hmm. So if I ever see like kids slack, it would bother me and I would be like, I would call them out more, you know.
Were you more strict with them just out of curiosity?
A little bit more stern, I think, but with good intentions, you know. Hey, you know, like you guys have the potential, you have the talent, you know, and mm-hmm. you have to really have more purpose, more intention every time you're doing it. Don't just go with the motion, you know? And that's why I'm just really trying to push them to.
So you're coaching them along the way with things that you're also applying to yourself.
Like, I really want to bring mm-hmm. out the best in them, mm-hmm. you know, because I see it.
And yeah.
So if I see someone, you know, I'm like, don't do that to yourself. You know, like, I feel like they're just stooping themselves lower than they think they could
like,
be.
Like, is it because of the, you see them, they're intentionally not trying hard enough.
Sometimes it's that
they're kind of like doing just the bare minimum,
or they feel mm-hmm. shy and timid, intimidated by maybe someone that's been dancing longer than
gotcha.
Them. You so, know, when so in reality they have it in them, you know, and then they just need to really push.
So you're tapping into them to help them see that better version of themselves.
Exactly.
You know, and that's cool because you're also doing this program to show them that, hey, look, listen. And some of them may already look up to you, right? But you doing this program, you get to show them, like, hey, look, like, you guys might think that I have it all, but, like, I'm still trying. I'm still going after it. You know,
they probably think I'm crazy. I'm okay with that though.
That's what I thought. That's what I thought.
You know what? You're like, why is this guy doing this?
You know what? It's so funny because I've come across that like thought process myself many times where I'm like, people probably think I'm crazy. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm cool with it. It's fine.
That's so fucking funny. All right, Ryan, so like, you know, going back into Dated and Faded or Retour, while doing this program, did you experience like a different approach with people? Because I imagine now, right, you have a higher sense of accountability, you're in this like momentum mode, you're like, you want to get shit done. Like, did you ever come across like talking to people, vendors or partners or people that are just not aligned with your targets and you have to find a way to kind of align them?
I feel like I've always had that drive even before the 75 hard thing, especially mm-hmm. with like creativity wise.
Yeah,
like
yeah,
I've
yeah.
always like, that's what kind of kept me going. I don't know how to answer your question. Can you rephrase it again one more time?
Well, I guess my biggest question is like during this process, for me at least, when I'm doing this thing, and I've noticed it too, sometimes I've come off very blunt to people and very cutthroat sometimes. So then they're like, why are you and I had to apologize. No, I'm sorry. I'm just trying to get shit done, right? So I had to do you ever experience that sense of like, actually, you know?
Yeah. Like, well, I mean, I would say I'm kind of the opposite. I think the challenge kind of opened my mind up to more things mm-hmm. like and possibilities because of like the reading.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been listening to a lot of more podcasts and I feel like it's kind of breaking my shell or my wall a little bit mm-hmm. because I'm not the most emotional person or like I don't really share my emotions too well. But going through the challenge, it helped me kind of break that wall.
Gotcha.
Even just like in business too, like if I have an idea or something, like I don't feel like I have to like hide it from Byron or like hide it from Stevie. There's always open communication now. Mm-hmm. Like I have just like a bigger awareness of I guess the person that I am now.
Because I imagine, especially in the Filipino world, or even as creativity, we tend to kind of keep.
Yeah, you know, because it's like kind of like precious, you know. Yeah. It's like sometimes like your creative might not align with someone else's creative, and then there might be a divide there, you know. But to find the common ground, I've never had a problem with like Byron or Stevie to like find that common ground. And I think that's come with like the challenges. Because mm-hmm. prior to the challenge, I kind of felt like, okay, I need to kind of protect my ideas. And I was like scared to share them because I was like, oh, what if they don't like it? Like, mm-hmm. what if they don't see the same vision as me? But we've always been on the same page and it's always been like super solid. And I would say some of it comes from the challenge, but I guess some of it comes from maturity.
That's cool.
Maybe that accelerated through the challenge.
That's awesome. Yeah. I think, like I said, you know, going back into it as creators, we tend to want to keep it. I'm glad that, you know, I'm sure that there's a growth process and growth learning curve as well that you're able to communicate differently. I mean, are you typically kind of talkative or social?
No, man, I'm actually really freaking shy. I'm like really, like, despite what it seems like, I'm just like, I really only talk to Byron and Stevie and then my girl, maybe.
I feel like you're more fashionably sociable. Like, if I look at you, like, from a fashion sense, like,
oh, I express myself through my clothing?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It feels maybe social. Very cultural, very hip. You know, it has its own like sense of, I guess, just, you know, different style.
Yeah, I mean, that's my goal. Like, I don't want to be like that because there's a lot of people in LA where like they're very into fashion and that they're very standoffish. Mm. Like, I don't want to seem like that. So I'm trying to grow out of that like shell.
That's awesome.
It's not because I'm standoffish; it's because I'm mad shy. Like, I'm super shy.
I think
shy,
you gotta
you know?
Do phase three, bro.
Probably, dude. Probably, man.
I think that would be an interesting part for you as well.
I've been kind of like prepping myself for it. Like, every time I hit the sauna, mm-hmm. I'll have a conversation with the dude. Like, you know, we're already sweaty and naked next to each other. You know, so I was like, you know, like,
how's your day going, bro?
Exactly.
How's your workout?
Exactly. Or like, I saw somebody like trading crypto and I just asked them about like crypto, you know,
yeah.
Like random stuff like that. And I think it's prepping me for phase three. goes back to like being uncomfortable, right? So maybe there's some growth in there if I do decide to do face.
Well, you know what's crazy is that most of the creators I know, that I feel like the most successful, or I want to say the most successful ones, the ones who tend to make shit work for them more are definitely the ones who have learned to communicate more and be more outgoing.
I feel like that's what I've been lacking, mm-hmm. to be honest.
It really puts you, from my experience, those type of guys typically allow them to get better opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, closed mouths don't get fed.
Exactly. It doesn't matter how talented you are. Yeah. Like sometimes it's just like the people you know, right?
100%. I'm glad that you're able to utilize that as well. Cool. Well, okay. We're going to slowly pivot back to close it off. I don't want to take you guys here too long. You guys have to do your 75 hard challenge. But okay, so now speaking of you guys' business and you guys' lifestyle, you guys are still in the program, right? What's the next couple of months looking like for you guys that you guys are looking to accomplish?
A new event.
Mm. Oh yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. When is this event coming up? Maybe
it'll be posted before this. We're hoping June time.
June time. Okay.
Yeah. So we'll have it up before. We're trying to fill the gaps in between markets. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of our thought process. We were like, okay. Markets are 3-4 times a year, maybe 2-3 months in between. Mm. So we're like, how do we fill those gaps? So this is our sand. Okay. Going back to the metaphor, you know.
Sand. I like it. Yeah. Oh, sprinkle a little sand.
This is a lot of sand, yeah. We're working out the kinks, but when we have more info, you guys.
Okay, so let's talk about like a DNF. You guys both run it. Yeah. What got you guys to get started on DNF market?
We've always wanted to throw some like, or we've always thrown events. Like,
yeah,
we've always
thrown, I remember that. Yeah, you guys have like thrown we've some dope parties,
thrown like events and stuff. And then one of our biggest conversations we've had was a lot of our market is 18 and under, or like 21 and under,
vintage, right?
Yeah, so that's like as we get older, we start to realize, okay, our audience is getting younger and younger, and we've always gotten DMs like, oh, like. I want to get merch, but I can't get in. I'm not 21. Mm. So like we would do like the 21 plus events, but that would cut off a whole part of our market, right? So how do we fill the gap? Mm. Where we can still have fun, still like the adults can have a drink, right? But they can bring their kids or they can bring their dog.
Topa does a good job on that.
Right, yeah. So the brewery setting was just the perfect middle ground. And then I think I went into the brewery one time and I was like, guys, I found the spot. I sent them the video.
I remember him like messaging me. He's like, yo, this would be a crazy venue.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Like,
and they have grown. I mean, they've hosted a couple events in there. VC Plant Swap. What else? A couple of other.
Findings Market.
Yeah. Shout out to Topa Topa for being community driven.
They're the best. Yeah, they're the best. The best partners ever. Like, but yeah, going back to that. What were we talking about again?
Yeah, they're just like general stasis of what the DNF market
is. Oh, yeah, why we did it. Yeah, we wanted to fill the gaps between like our markets that are like 21 under and 21 plus. So now we have a melting pot of like everything that like Retor is as an umbrella, right? Because the company started as a vintage curation page and then it ventured to what it is now, like where we make our own clothing and then we wanted to house everything. So from like the DJs, the performances, how do we bridge everything?
That's awesome.
Like a whole cultural melting pot. So that's what DNF is.
And what have you guys experienced so far with the, how many events have you guys done?
Four, right?
Four?
Four or five. Yeah. Four.
Okay. I've gone to two. How have you guys seen like the growth change over time?
Well, attendance has always gone up every single time, I think. Even when it rained, it was like we still had like 1,000-something people pull up. Yeah, man. So
y'all popping.
Yeah, thank you, man. Yeah, just that and then knowing that our community is doing well, like the vendors hit us up and they're like, dude, like when is the next one? Like,
wow.
We did awesome. We want to be part of this again.
That's like, fucking amazing.
That's like the best part about it because it's like, that's what it's all about, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like there's so many talented people in Oxnard or like Ventura County and they don't have a voice or like they don't have a platform,
a vehicle to be able to put themselves
to show
out there.
You know, to show off what they can do and that's what DNF's all about, you know?
Cool. Well, you know, you guys are awesome for doing that shit.
Thank you, man. Yeah,
thank you,
for sure. And in Retour, Alias, you guys got any other plans that you guys want to share?
I'm working on the next collection.
Okay.
That's next collection. Yeah, that's all I can think about.
A little sneak peek or anything?
Oxnard hoodies are coming back in a different variant. But other than that, yeah, just kind of trying to push the envelope of like quality and creativity. That's
cool.
It.
Cool. I do see you. I think I saw you post a story or something, picking a different fabric or something.
Oh, yeah, dude. Yeah, cut and sew is a little bit crazier. So, yeah, there's a whole other level to that.
Yeah. Cool, man. Well, I'm excited.
Thank you, man.
I love seeing people's growth. One of the things I like doing this podcast is I get to experience people's growth tremendously change over time. Like, I have some people coming back this season, and their business has changed.
Yeah.
And I'm fucking excited, you know? Yeah. So I'm excited to see you guys progress over time, have different conversation, and that's what it's supposed to be about, right? All right, pivot back to you, Pyron. What you got going on?
Well, we're going to be doing World of Dance competition in 2 weeks in L.A. So that's the next thing we're doing. And then we're going to be hosting a fundraiser show for the kids sometime in May, I believe. Okay. Yeah, so
summer event.
I don't really have a set time, but
something to know.
Yeah, keep an eye out. You know, support the youth. Yeah, support the youth of the 805.
Love that. You know. Yeah. If you guys didn't get the chance to listen to the last episode of like the impact that Byron has done with, at the time I had co-host with Lexo, he talked about like the impact that it has done for parents. You know, so if you guys are any parents are looking to put themselves in the program, you know, Byron's dance group Alias, he has different categories for different ages. Right.
Yep. From ages 4 to college. So
damn,
hit me up.
Yeah. And then obviously Ryan, you know, if people are interested for getting a part of the DNF market or a collaborating with Retour, how can they get a hold of you guys?
We have a, I think best way is through DM, but we have an email at info@retourco.com.
Nice.
We also do studio rentals. So if you guys need any photography or like a space to just create, we rent out our space.
Awesome. Where's your space at?
We're off Oxnard Boulevard and Rose in Oxnard.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Awesome. And for anybody who do wants to reach out to you, I mean, is there any way that people can get a hold of you?
Through Instagram would probably be the best way.
Okay.
Yeah. So my Instagram is Ryan_Yuri or Retourco.com.
Cool. Awesome.
You, and then or Byron. At Alias Dance Fam.
There we go.
Or at Byron Bukow.
If you want to see his craziness challenge every day, man. I feel like every time I look at Byron's page, I'm going to expect workout regardless. I really just go. I had a guy today at a meeting at BNI, and he is a big enthusiast of like, you know, athletic program, like rock climbing, fucking, you know, running, hiking, all that crap. So it's cool to come across people who are thrilled to do shit like that. Like for me, fitness has always been a program, but like it's been challenging to find things to, you know, sustain it, but also make it fun.
Uh-huh.
You know, yeah, because sometimes you do shit and like, oh, this is getting boring, you know.
Leg day,
yeah.
Leg day.
He hates leg days.
You gotta do it, man. You gotta do it, bro.
I actually you have like a love hate. I don't like it. I mean, I have love hate for them. You know, I love the feeling after. I'm like, oh fuck yeah, I did that shit,
bro. I can't even walk. after, dude. That's why I hate it. And then you're sore until the next fucking leg day.
Yeah,
so like that's. I was like, fuck, dude.
I did 2 leg days this week, so like, oh, I feel good about it. You know,
with no caffeine too.
Yeah, honestly, yeah, it feels nice, you know. I'm trying to get back into Muay Thai too, so eventually I'll, you know, be doing that again. But cool, cool. For before we tune out, you guys have anything else you want to promote? Any message? Any listeners?
Do your fucking golf balls first. Hey, and then add the fucking sand, bro.
Put your fucking golf balls in, guys. Put your fucking golf balls in, right?
New market coming soon, new event coming soon.
Cool.
Event. It's all under the same thing, but you know, that's I think the most exciting thing we got going on.
Awesome. And Byron, anything else? No?
He's good.
He's tired as fuck. All right. Yeah. I need to go get my workout in. All right. I'm going to let you guys go. Thank you guys for tuning in. Ryan, Byron, it's a pleasure having you guys.
And thank you again, man.
For sure.
Appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you guys for sharing your insights and, you know, journey through 75 Hard. And for everybody listening, we'll see you guys on the next episode.
Sick.
Hey everyone, I hope you enjoyed the episode. We'll be doing more episodes like this where we bring on professionals, experts, leaders to voice what they stand for. So if you haven't already, make sure to follow or subscribe so that you can tune in to the next and latest episodes.